hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
One of the things I was talking to Crystal about is there's many different kinds of learning. Some of you guys are able to hear the message and go, yeah, okay, sounds good. I have attention deficit hyperactive disorder, ADHD, so I'm a visual learner. Who's a visual learner here? Okay, so this is why, this is for you. So I said to Crystal, I said, I'm gonna put more screens up, so because of those visual learners. Last week we talked about belong. What's this week about? Believe, and how it connects to communion. Ed Stetzer wrote an article for Christianity Today, and it unpacks this. He says, Christians claim to believe the Bible is God's word. We claim it's God's divinely inspired, inerrant message to us. Yet despite this, we aren't reading it. A recent Lifeway research study found only 45% of those who regularly attend church read the Bible more than once a week. Over 40% of the people attending read their Bible occasionally and maybe once or twice a month. One in five churchgoers say that they never read the Bible. Essentially the same number who read it every day. Small groups, he says, are the key to combating and changing the epidemic of biblical illiteracy. Because we don't read God's word, it follows that we don't know it. And to understand the effects, we can look at the statistics of another Western country, the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom Bible Society surveyed British children and found many could not identify common Bible stories. When given a list of stories, almost one in three didn't choose the nativity as part of the Bible. And over 59% didn't even know that Jonah being swallowed by a great fish was in the Bible. British parents didn't do much either. About 30% of parents don't know Adam and Eve, David and Goliath, or the Good Samaritan are in the Bible. To make matters worse, 27% think Superman is or might be a biblical story. More than one in three believes the same about Harry Potter. And more than half, 54%, believe that The Hunger Games is or might be a story from the Bible. But it's more than simply not knowing stories about Scripture. Our lack of biblical literacy has led to a lack of biblical doctrine. Lifeway research found out that 67% of Americans believe heaven is a real place. 45% believe that there are many ways to get there. One in five evangelical Christians, more than half of the evangelicals, 59%, believe that the Holy Spirit is a force, not a personal being. In contrast to the Orthodox biblical teaching of the Trinity being three persons in one God. As a whole, Americans, including many Christians, hold unbiblical views on hell, sin, salvation, Jesus, humanity, and the Bible itself. Next slide. What we want to do is we want to talk about the two forms of communication, of belief. So what do we believe? If we understand that we have a biblical literacy issue, let's be honest with that. Some of those statistics are going, ooh, you know, they ring, sing, or they sting. Some of you might be sitting here going, Pastor, I don't read the Bible often. Part of it, too, is I don't have a copy. So who does not have a copy of the Bible this morning? It's okay. You can do a sheepishly hand like this. Anyone? Who here is a new Christian, say, under 5 years? Couple? Do you have a Bible? You do? Because I have these here right now. I got these Why Jesus by Nikki Gumbel. That's an alpha resource. Look at this. Brand new. In the package. Woo! These are New Living Translations. These are great if you're learning English as well. Who would like a copy this morning? Josh, could you come and hand these out? Anyone? Who has never read the New Living Translation? Hey, you know, I preach out of the NIV, but this is a great learning Bible. Here, one right there. Yeah, grab one. Yeah. Who would like? I got a couple more. Yeah, there's two more right here. Yeah. And Josh, you know where the rest are in the cabinet down there. So keep your hands up. Keep your hands. We have two forms of communication. We have, as we commune, it's a weird word, commune, because we get the word communion. Oh, nothing but net. We have the horizontal communion with one another. It's man and man. We're communing right now. We're communication. We're having an understanding of belief. What am I trying to do? Oh, we also have these tracks. Anyone want a Nikki Gumbel, Why Jesus? This is great. You can hand these to your friends at work. But Josh, would you hand these out? Anyone else? Just put your hands up. Yeah, it's okay. These are free. This is like the chocolate bar analogy like we did last week. You don't deserve it, but you get it. Communion, we're connecting with each other one-on-one about belief. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a Bible. I'm going to give you a track. I'm going to give you the resources. The second we see here is God and all of us. Notice I didn't put there God in the church. Amen? God and the entire cosmos, all human life. God is constantly on the prowl. I remember one preacher said, God is the hound of heaven. He's like this bloodhound that's searching out souls. In the Gospel of Luke, it actually says, Jesus comes to seek and save the what? The lost. So God's mandate, his great commission is to see everyone know him, be baptized, and to be discipled. So that's the communion that we have. And that's what do we do to believe and why? I remember when I was in Bible college, you're like a blank slate and you have these professors teaching you all these courses. Like I did a course on 1 Corinthians. I did a course on the Gospels. I did a course of the Old Testament and the New Testament. But when you go into your master's degree, they move to the place of going, okay, now you know what to believe. They ask a hard question. Why do you believe it? Horizontally, Ed Stetzer, in his article, he unpacks that we have to combat the lack of biblical knowledge is to form understanding and discipleship in small groups. This is what we have. We have connect groups. And if you're interested about being part of a connect group, talk to Josh, talk to me. That's the bulkhead of where you're going to learn about faith and belief. Sunday morning is kind of like the topping on the cake, isn't it? Like, you shouldn't be coming and literally, like, crawling your way to Sunday going, oh, I haven't read my Bible one stitch. I'm not involved in any kind of ministry after the week. You just crawl into church going, I made it. I'm here. And for some of us, we've been doing that for years. But the invitation is, what if there was more spiritual depth and growth midweek? And that when you're forming these small groups, these even one-on-one relationships where you get to share a track or give a Bible and ask some questions about faith. And then you come here and then it's just icing on the cake. And vertically, we commune and we connect with the Lord. How? If you're taking notes, here it is. Number one, prophetically, right? Through the person of the Holy Spirit, not the force. It's not the Force Awakens, you know, these aren't the droids you're looking for. That's not what we're doing. It's the person of the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that the person of the Holy Spirit has been ribboning and through and in and around and under and over you this morning? Some of you, amen? Yes. And in spite of you, you might be sitting here in sin. Do you think the Holy Spirit's still moving? He is. He's the Holy Spirit. If you're in sin, he's what's called conviction. He's kind of bugging you. He's poking you. And some of us, that's a good, for me, it's a kick in the butt, not a poke. But the Holy Spirit's like bugging you. He's pestering like a gnat or a mosquito. And why? It's because he sees the sin in your life. He says, that's not God's heart, the Father heart of God. That's not what Jesus paid the price for. That's the Trinitarian gospel. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Prophetically, God has brought you here. Did you think that you got up and got showered, put on this, and said, I'm going to go to church? No, God has already started laying in plans in your heart that you are supposed to be here today. You're fulfilling a prophetic call. You're not here by accident. None of you are here by accident. You're here because prophetically God has called you here. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't live here. I don't care. You're here right now. And so your posture is not leaning back going, well, it's a great service. You should be leaning forward and going, there's something here. I don't know, Lord, what is it? Prophetically there, I don't know, I'm seeing the Holy Spirit. Do I trust the Holy Spirit? Is he moving? Is he ribboning somehow? Is he showing me something? Am I hearing something? Is something going to ring, sing, and sting in my life? I can't wait. It's going to be the best. That should be your posture this morning. When you parked your car, put the sun visor so it doesn't cook your car. You're putting in going, I can't wait. This is going to be the Sunday. Prophetically, God has something for you. How many times do we just roll into church going, oh, I just need a cup of coffee. My day didn't start until I got coffee. God's day started when you opened up your eyes and he started prophetically calling you here. Number two is scripturally, by reading and studying God's word. I don't know how much, we were reading the word just the other day, and a lot of times we're sitting in the living room and I said, do you want to hear what the word of the living Lord says? And Crystal says, yes. We started reading Romans 12 together out loud. And God just starts speaking about God's provision and how he's calling leaders and prophets and people in ministry. God is going to continually speak through this Bible, amen? That's why I told you, get a Bible. Number three, prayerfully. We started this morning in the prayer room just over here, hearing God's voice, sensing God's direction. We were praying. You know what we were praying? We were saying, God, we want divine opportunities, but not devilish distractions like last week. Notice something that we didn't have? Nothing. We had no devilish distractions this week. No one saying, excuse me, Pastor. What? I'm like, we didn't have that. Why? Because we pray. We're praying for you guys that you have breakthrough. We're having breakthrough for a home, breakthrough for Gore. We're seeing people equipped and released all the time, and new people coming in going, oh, this is a great church. Why is it a good church? Because we pray. I don't know how many times I've had to tell pastors, one of the first things you do when you come into a new pastor is create a culture of prayer. I didn't have to. I inherited it as soon as I walked into the church. People came to me and said, hey, welcome, Pastor. Guess what? We're praying. We've been praying the engine room. We're praying every other week. I was like, oh, amen. And lastly, practically. We talked about, as Buddy was saying, we're practically going to love our church here by taking care of it, but we're also going to love our city. Who's our neighbors? How are we getting out of this church and just engaging our city? One of the things that we're going to be looking forward to is not just Christianity Explored, great opportunity to bring people that never knew this message, but we're also going to do an Easter egg hunt April 4th at a park just south. It's a ghetto park. You know what I mean? It's like a park that's in the city. It's just a piece of grass. I phoned the city. Can I do it? Yes, you can. How much does it cost? It's free. You want to do a picnic? It's $74. I said, it's $74 to do an Easter egg hunt for this community. Yes. Can I have lots of music? She's like, you can't have amplified music. But I have a very loud voice. We're going to have a lot of fun. But we're going to look for ways to engage our community for Jesus, practically communing with each other and with the Lord. But notice the next slide. Let's look at this. Then actually the next one after that. Sojourners. Remember I was using this term last week. Sojourners are the people that wander in and out of church. I don't want to call them unbelievers. I don't want to call them believers. They could be both. How many people have here kind of church shopped? We've all done it. We move into a city and move into a place, or maybe in a season of life where we're just like, I'm going to go check out other churches. So you end up church shopping for a couple months. You go to the Baptist church, sit there. Ah, I like it. Then you go to like, I say that because I used to be a Baptist guy, so I can do. So you go to Lutheran church, you're like, ah, I don't like it. Go to SDA church, I don't like Saturdays. So whatever it is, you go through stuff. So sojourners could be non-believers and believers. Tolkien talked about not all who wander are lost. So these are people. Maybe you're a sojourner today. Theologically, you're still not really a Christian. You're kind of on the edge. You're on the edge of faith. You're just not there. And that's okay. We love you. You get a place to belong. We're not going to pressure you and shame you into becoming a follower of Jesus. You're a sojourner. So sojourners and followers, they're given a list. They're given 10 minutes. They said, look, I want you to come up with areas that you are struggling with. So the sojourners, so these people that are kind of new to the church, kind of wanderers, they sit down and they do this list. Christians, followers, people have been coming to church for years. They're on this side. They're doing the same survey. What are some areas that you struggle with, that you need help with, that you need counseling in, that you need resources and workshops in? Look at the list. This is the same list. The same people, same list. Marriage. The sojourners and the Christians are both wanting the same exact resources and workshopping. Parenting, doubt, trying to be a good person, pornography, materialism, debt, divorce, sexual problems in marriage, alcohol and drug addictions, problem with kids, and anger issues. When I looked at that stat, I was like, that's amazing. And it's also connected to, number one, don't dumb it down for the non-believer. We do that, don't we? It's terrible. We're like, we'll meet with non-believers or new Christians, and we kind of, not sugarcoat it, but we kind of like, well, let me just explain. We kind of mansplain it, I guess, or we kind of bring it down to Christian-splain it. We kind of keep it really simple for the But if you guys share the same issues about the Bible and you need resources, we have to stop dumbing it down for the non-Christian. What we need is an authentic and vulnerable voice. I remember one time I was out doing some street ministry, and we came up to this halfway house the Salvation Army was running for guys that were in the penal the prison system. It's a good halfway house. They're just getting out of prison. They're on probation, and they're living in this house. So we go, and I have a bunch of teenagers with me, and they're handing out hot chocolates and socks and you name it. And I come up to this one guy. He's smoking, chain smoking. You guys know what chain smoking is? One after another. So I came up to him. He was off to the side. I love, these are my people, the off to the side people. And he's just sitting there. He's like, smoking. Someone had come up to him, and he just immediately dismissed him, and they just kind of went back and served hot chocolate. I grabbed the hot chocolate and said, hey, man, how's it going? He goes, I am very good. He's French-Canadian, so forgive me. I'm very good. How are you? And I said, I'm good. And he goes, he started to share his life a little bit. I said, so you're in the halfway house, so you've had some issues with the law. He goes, I got addicted to the painkillers. And I said, okay, and so what's going on? He goes, I have what they say, PTSD. I said, post-traumatic. He goes, I was in the army. You don't understand. And the things I see he was in Serbia and Herzegovina. Our Canadian troops were in that country. He goes, the things I see, I cannot unsee. I said, I was in the army. And all of a sudden, his face just dropped. He was putting up a guard as people had come up to him and was like, you don't know what I went through. I said, look, I was in the army. He goes, so you know what I talk about? I said, I was never deployed in combat mission. He goes, it doesn't matter. You've gone through the training. And I had this moment of vulnerability and authenticity. I said, yeah, I've gone through the training. I know how hard it is. I know that the sacrifice that you would have done in those countries for peace, wearing the Canadian flag. I got to lead that guy to the Lord that night. Because we were authentic, because we were transparent, because I recognized that he struggled with the same stuff. Next slide. So how do we deal with Scripture? So one of the things I want to do is I want you guys to, how do we share Scripture with one another, first of all, horizontally? I want you guys to turn your Bible to James chapter 3. How do we share? How do we believe? How do we make this vulnerable and transparent? So everyone, I want you guys know this, right? The shaka symbol. Everyone do this. You know what shaka means? Hang loose in Hawaii? Okay. So this is what you're going to do. is you're going to put your thumb and pinky onto the Bible. Hopefully this works. It doesn't really work on your iPhone. That's how much you're going to read today. That's it. So I'm kind of shy. My hands are big. So we're going to look at chapter 3. That's about that much. Let's look at the text. Is it up there? Here we go. Got it? Here we go. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault is what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and in itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Let's just stop right there. Let's look at that last slide, the five questions. The first question you want to look at is cheer. What I do this with my teams, I've done this with my kids. What's a cheer, jeer, and teachable moment? You've read those eight scriptures. What's something that we can thank God for in that text? What's something that we're thankful for, that we give praising God for? Number one could be is that he's writing about our tongue, that our tongue has the potential of giving blessing and the potential of giving curse. What's a jeer? The jeer is what? It could light everything on fire. It has that kind of radioactive potential to destroy things. Number three is what? Comprehension. Maybe there's a part of the text that you just don't understand, such as these literary analogies. I don't understand why the tongue is like a bit in a horse's mouth, or how they're using analogy of the ship being steered. Number four, what is the teachable moment? Just watch what you say. Be careful. Later on in the text, it talks about what? Be slow to speak and quick to listen. And number five, how do we apply this to our lives? Husbands, we get it right away. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. We all can apply this, that we need to be careful in what we say to one another and how what we say has the potential to do damage, but it also has the potential to do blessing. We do this small little Bible study this morning because why? Look how much you've just learned about belief, about believing in God in just that much. What we do sometimes is we read too fast, or we just read too much, or we read the wrong book. I remember when I got saved, one guy said, read the Bible from cover to cover. I'm like, what? I started reading Genesis, and Genesis is like a kind of an action book. So I breezed through Genesis, love that book. Then I hit Genesis, Exodus, okay, it's good there. I like a little bit more. They got some Moses, got some parting of the Red Sea. I'm like, okay. And then I hit the wilderness of Leviticus. And I struggled, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Oh, like I was losing steam. I was like, oh, can I just go back to Genesis? Like I didn't know, I wasn't told anything. Then I remember talking to my pastor, and he's like, who told you that? Don't start there. You're a new Christian. Start with a book that's named after you. Read John. I said, really? I'm like, read Jesus. You should be reading Jesus for like the first year. I said, oh, thank you. And I did. I think I read something like the New Testament like three or four times in that first year being a Christian. It wasn't until like later on I actually did read the Old Testament. But what I reason why I did the James thing is I want you to slow down when you read. Look at how it affects you. Ask these questions. What am I happy about this scripture? When you read Psalm 23 about the deer panting after the water, you know, and the valley of the shadow of death being laid down into green pastures. How does that make you feel? When you hear about issues with the tongue and it kind of jeers you, it kind of stings you going, oh yeah, I did some gossip last week. I shouldn't have talked about my friend. And maybe there's things that you just don't understand. And that's when you have people in the church, communions left and right. You can ask. You can go to your pastor. You can go to Pastor Ken saying, I don't understand this piece of scripture. You've done some training. Help me understand this whole ship analogy that James is using. Let's look at the next slide. The goal of our missional life is not to grow churches. The goal of church is to grow missionaries. Amen? The goal of the gospel is not to get people to church. The result of the gospel is that people will find each other and gather because of the deep meaning of a common experience. Sunday services are just, again, the topping of the cake. We should be baking and cooking our belief, our understanding of Scripture throughout the week. And Sunday should be a time of great belief and communion with Jesus and others. Great place to bring your friends and the ones that haven't met throughout the week. Services imply that you get served something. If I could, I would love to change the word service to gathering. This is more of a gathering together where like minds are here, like hearts are here to share the things of what this beautiful book says. Lastly, if you look in the next slide, is three things I want to leave with you. Number one is no. My challenge for this year, and I really felt like the Lord was speaking to me for 2020, is this year is going to be a year for training. So simple things like this thing, I'm just training you in how to upgrade your Bible study. If you have your own system, God bless you. Use it. You might have like a daily reading plan that you're going to stick to. Stick to that. Don't worry about this thing. But if we look at the statistics of biblical illiteracy, I have to give you something. I have to train you to just crack open that Bible. Here's another thing too, is read different versions. If you've been reading NIV for 25 years, I don't know, switch it up. Read the NLT or the ESV, that's the New Living Translation, or the English Standard Version. Or be really risky and read like the Message or something. Second thing is keep Bibles handy. You have your phone, amen. But I try to keep a Bible beside my chair. I try to keep Bibles in my office. I actually keep a Bible in the car, so when I have to pick up these kids and I'm waiting, I could just open up the Bible and read. There's a devotional book that's on the welcome desk as well that helps you read the Bible as well. Find tools that you can take and learn so you can do number one is know what and why you believe. Another tool for this year that we're giving to you for free is Christianity Explored. Come on a seven-week journey with me and really understand what the gospel is. I remember one time when I was at Arrow Leadership, we had this guy come from the Billy Graham Association in Chicago, from Wheaton College, actually, and he came and he said, every Christian, every follower of Jesus should be able to articulate the gospel in 4 minutes. That's a challenge for 2020, isn't it? So I'm going to come to you throughout the year, and I'm going to ask you, can you articulate the gospel for me in 4 minutes? And I'll look at my watch, and I'll hit the button, and I'll say, go. And I'll wait for 4 minutes. I know it sounds like, oh, that's just mean, and it's cruel, but no, it's not. Isn't that our heart? Under 4 minutes, can you share with me what the gospel message is? How, if we know biblical literacy is an issue, this is the challenge for us. But some of you guys are going to go, well, I'll just share my testimony. That's a start. Some of us don't even know what our testimony is. How did you get saved? When did you get saved? What got you saved? You're saved from, but saved to. Know what you need to know about the Bible and why you believe it. Number two is scattered. I believe that the church is a scattering and a gathering of people. Scatter out with purpose as God's missionaries. Some of us have been called to full-time missionary service. Crystal and I were for a period of time. We did mission work all over the world. But I truly believe that you are God's missionaries right here. And your mission field is your family. It's your work. It's your school. It's your groups. It's your church. It's your youth ministry. It's your children's ministry. You're meeting and sharing God's word for one another. One of the things that was profound this morning in our prayer time is I just felt the sense that we had to pray for our children and our youth. As we get older, we transplant our status that we think we have and we put it on our children. The most important thing is our children, and they need to know Jesus. Statistics also share that majority of a lot of Christians, especially in North America, they will trace their roots back to when they heard the gospel, to usually like a camp experience, to a Sunday school experience. That's why we're, you know, front loading our children's and our youth ministry. So if you need something to pray for this week, pray for Sarah, pray for Eleanor, pray for our children and youth programs. And lastly, gather. You're gathered together for a fresh inpouring of the Lord so that you can pour out into relationships. That's why we come and we experience great worship. And I believe as you're standing and you have your hands like this, that God is pouring into your life. But imagine if you just held on to all that and you just took it home. Oh, that makes me feel good. God's plan is for you to pour in, to pour out. And that's what it is. It's fresh manna. It's fresh fire, fresh wind every single day, and especially Sundays. If I was to poll this audience here, that's the reason why they do what they do. They love to see it poured into your life. We have a great vantage point when we look at you because we could see God pouring right into your lives. So as much as you're scattered throughout your week, doing God's mission, sharing what it means to believe and commune with God, what's awesome is that God pours in and now you pour out. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.